know that music's good for a workout, preferably something fast and rhythmic and loud, but did you know that science has proven it? What's more, a new study finds that making music, not just listening to it, makes exercising easier. For more on the science of music and fitness, I'm joined by New York Times phys ed columnist Gretchen Reynolds. She's on the line with us. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So before we get to this new study, what do we already know scientifically about music and exercise?
Well, what science has shown pretty persuasively is that the body responds to music. And in fact, I spoke to a researcher for a column I did a while ago who said that there are only two creatures on Earth that really respond automatically to rhythm, and that's songbirds and humans. And so our body does respond without even our volition. We respond to music. If you're listening to fast music, your body wants to essentially sync itself to that music. Your heart rate will increase. You will actually find that moving around feels easier. Doing the exact same thing, say running for 5 minutes, will feel easier if you're listening to music than if you're not.
Right. Neuroscientists talk about this process of entrainment, where you know, the sort of the rhythms of the activity in your brain will begin to sync up to the rhythms of the music that you're hearing. But now this new study by Tom Fritz, who's been on Soundcheck in the past, he works at the Max Planck Institute in Germany, this new study takes it another level. The suggestion here is that making music while you exercise is even more effective than just listening passively to someone else's music.
Yes, it's a really fascinating study, and it does advance our understanding of how the body responds to music. In this study, the scientists first developed a kit, essentially, that they could add to exercise machines. They could add to weight machines or a stair-stepping style machine. And when they put this kit into the internal workings of the machines, they became big music makers. They became machines that when you, say, pull the weight bar down, would make sounds. And in this case, they were it produced electronic music, a fairly fast 130 beats per minute kind of electronic music. And you could vary the melody, you could vary the speed, you could vary the tempo, depending on how you pulled down the weight machine or how you pushed it forward if it was a different weight machine. And so they had a group of volunteers learn to use these machines. They're very common workout machines. And they taught them how to use them so that they could actually vary the sounds that were being produced. And then they had these people working in groups of three. They had them work out, and they found that when the people could make music with their workout, they not only worked harder, they produced more force when they were doing the weight training, but they also reported that the workout felt significantly easier than when they were not doing this, and easier than when they were just listening to music, when they were not making the music.
Right. So they had three different groups, one just doing the weight machines or the stair-stepper, another doing the weight machine or the stair-stepper with music, and the third group doing the weight machine or the stair-stepper with this electronic music kit where they were actually controlling the sound as they worked out.
And what's particularly interesting in that is that when the group was listening to music, they were listening to another group making the same music.
Yeah.
So they were actually listening to the same kind of music, but they were not getting as much physiological benefit as when they made the music. Their bodies responded significantly more to the process of contributing to the music. They found the work much easier, even though they were actually working harder.
Now, Tom Fritz practices what he preaches and has posted a pretty funny but very effective video on the web of himself working out on two of these machines that have been fitted out with these electronic music kits that Gretchen Reynolds is talking about. Here is a little bit of this distinguished neuroscientist huffing and puffing with great soul. That's a little bit of Thomas Hans Fritz, or Tom Fritz as he's known, a neuroscientist at the Max Planck Institute in Germany, working out. Now, he's on two machines, sort of playing simultaneously there. It's a video that he's posted. We're speaking with Gretchen Reynolds, who has written about this study that finds that actually making music, controlling the sound while you work out, can be really effective in boosting the amount of energy you expend and in making it feel like it's not that stressful and not that hard. She is the phys ed columnist for the New York Times, and you can find a link to her article, How Music Can Boost Our Workouts, on soundcheck.org. Gretchen, what does Tom call this kind of musical workout thing?
A rather marvelous phrase for it. It's called gymming with a J, for jamming, only with the Y from gym. So you're sort of gym jamming. And what I would point out from listening to that music, and obviously people, if they're listening on the radio, can't see the video, mm-hmm. but even as I was listening, my toes started tapping. I wanted to move along with it. And that it tends to represent what they call, and what Dr. Fritz calls, emotional motor control, where your body is responding to essentially an emotion and moving to it. And it appears that if you are making that music, if you are contributing to it and not just listening, the emotional motor control is intensified significantly. Your body wants to move even more than if you're just listening to the music. Hmm. So it's the same effect as listening, but intensified significantly.
Now, it strikes me that most gyms are not private. You know, we go to a public gym to work out. So if you've got one of these, pimped out machines with the electronic kid and it's making noise and you're controlling the sound and stuff, the people around you are hearing what you're doing, and maybe they're trying to get a different sound. So I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a couple of kind of logistical things that need to be worked out here.
I agree, although Dr. Fritz found that when they had these groups of three working in concert, groups of three people, they tended to start almost unconsciously doing their workouts so that the music melded in a way that was not necessarily pleasing, but that they did start to sort of intertwine the melodies from the different machines without even really trying. And I think that would actually be rather interesting to listen to.
Yeah. So a little kind of like live jamming. Almost like
live jamming.
Yeah, right. It's like electronic chamber music, you know? Yes. I contribute my part, you contribute your part, and we're all getting a good workout while we do it.
And they didn't tell people to do that. They just started doing it. And,
yeah.
And these were not musicians. These were just healthy adults.
So have you, Gretchen, had a chance to put this into practice at the gym at all?
I have not. I do tend to sing to myself, and I mentioned in the column that at the moment that may be sort of the closest you can get to actually making music. I tend to hum to myself when I am working out and not listening to music. I will actually find myself humming a couple of different tunes that do tend to motivate me, and that I pay attention to those and not to the effort of working out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Gretchen, does this study say anything about, does this have any implications for how music got started, how people, why people might have begun making music in the first place?
Well, certainly Dr. Fritz thinks so. I mean, it appears the implication is that making music makes hard effort easier. And early man had a lot of hard effort in his life, whether he had to break rocks to make a shelter or hunt animals or any of those sorts of things that required a lot of physical effort. If it's easier to produce physical effort by making music, then it makes sense that people started singing along as they hiked or as they were part of chain gangs or any of that.
Right.
And there is a long tradition in human society of music accompanying hard effort.
So work songs were some of the earliest forms. I mean, I think it's in The Golden Bough, the book by James Frazer, where he talks about why people thought music was magical, because a bunch of people trying to haul that carcass of the mastodon or the mammoth, whatever it is, out of the hole that they dug in the ground, you know, couldn't quite do it, but if they were all synchronized, if they're all going kind of heave-ho or some kind of rhythmic, you know, gesture, some kind of rhythmic vocalizing, they would be able to get the job done. And they kind of felt like that was magic, you know,
the implication from this study is that there is a certain magic to it, that it does make something that would otherwise be very physically hard easier.
Gretchen Reynolds' column is called, her article is called How Music Can Boost Our Workouts, based on this fascinating study from Dr. Thomas Hans Fritz at the Max Planck Institute in Germany. And Gretchen, as you say, these electronic kits not available yet, but we'll look for them hopefully in the future sometime, since this really does seem to be a very promising study.
And Dr. Fritz says he has gotten a great deal of attention from or interest from companies that make weight machines about potentially starting to incorporate this. So that will be very interesting.
All right. Check out Gretchen's article on our website at soundcheck.org. Gretchen, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
This is Soundcheck.